Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Paranormal.
You are tuned in to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Sherry Pang. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, psychics, and even Bigfoot. The show is about to begin.
Welcome to Paranormal Horizons. This is Sherry Pang, and my co-host, Jason Ophir. Hello, Jason.
Hello, how are you?
Pretty good, how are you?
Not too bad. Not much going on my end. I went out on the motorcycle today, and it was cold and rainy, so I don't ride very often anymore, but I got out there and got a little cold, but it was fun, and looking forward to the show tonight.
Good. Well, we have a very wonderful guest. Some of you may be looking forward to it. Her name is Karen Dahlman, and she is going to talk about Ouija boards. She's an expert. She's been, I would say, studying and using the Ouija board for over 43 years, and she's coming on board tonight to discuss the history, the uses of a Ouija board, how to use it, and the most common fears that we are taught to not use one. So I'm really looking forward to having her on air tonight. How about you, Jason?
Yeah, you know, we've talked to a lot of people about Ouija boards, and pretty much all ends of the spectrums in terms of beliefs. And I'm one of those individuals that tend to err on the side of caution. It is not something that I choose to play with. I did when I was younger. I think I had mentioned on another show that I had dabbled with the Ouija board. But over the last couple years, I would say the common opinion of people out there is that they are gateways for demons to come out. And you see a lot of things online and YouTube, and I know, don't believe anything you see on YouTube, but there's like this new thing or newish thing of this demon called Zozo that communicates to the Ouija board. And apparently thousands of people out there playing with Ouija boards are contacting this nefarious evil spirit Zozo. See, I'm getting nervous even just saying the name. I hope I don't get haunted because I said the name. But so that's one of those things that's going on out there fairly recently. So I prefer personally to err on the side of caution and not play with one, but hope maybe my attitude will change tonight.
Right, after talking to Karen and getting a little different perspective and how to use it and things like that. So before we take too much time, I'd like to, she has a lot to talk about, a lot to cover, so I'm going to put her on air right away. So how about we get her in on the show, Jason?
All righty. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Jason. Hi, Sherry. Great to be here tonight.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited to hear about Ouija boards from an expert. We need that. We need both sides of the argument regarding Ouija boards, good, bad, and yeah. So thank you for taking the time to come on Paranormal Horizons this evening.
You betcha. Yeah, you're right. There's many different opinions about the Ouija board, but it tends to err as being really negative and demonic too. Many people now write to me and tell me about their positive experiences as well. So you do get the full gamut and also the caution within and in between the spectrum. So you get the whole thing, and we can definitely explore that and some of the whys and twos and hows and look at, you know, not here to change anybody's opinion on it, but other than just to share my experience with it and to look at it maybe in a different light tonight.
Awesome.
Great.
Yeah. So, yeah, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and let's dig into it. Let's learn about the Ouija board.
Great. Well, I started using the board in 1973. I had my first experience with it that year. Probably it was about the summertime, I believe it was. And I was playing with a couple friends of mine down the street, and they invited me to play this game, which I really knew nothing about. And so I'm using the word play here on purpose, because when I use the board now, I would never, ever use the word play. I'm with you, Jason. No, people should not play with the board. They should actually use the board. So I'm glad you brought that up, because back then I was playing. It was a toy. It was a game. I didn't know what it was. And these girls said, watch, we could talk to spirits, and they'll spell out answers to questions. I said, okay, that's stupid. You guys must be pushing it. Well, they said, let me show you something. When the two sisters sat down with the board after they messed around with silly little things they were asking spirits, supposedly, I was pretty bored at this point, but they said, we can talk to our dead sister. Now, I didn't even know they had a dead sister. It turned out one of the older girls in the room, who was 10 years old, had a twin who had died shortly after birth. But they said they were talking to her now, and that she was growing up in the same age that her twin was, that was alive in this dimension. Her twin on that dimension was also growing up. Now, that was really weird and exciting to me at the same time. So I watched them talk to her, saw the messages spell out. I tried it. I swore I wasn't pushing it. They swore they weren't either. Who knows? But the messages came through so well. And I ran home, told my parents. I said, oh, my goodness, the news is great. You can actually communicate with the dead, and you could do it through Parker Brothers game. And they said, oh, sure, you can. I said, I know you don't believe me, but that's okay. Santa Claus will believe me, and Santa Claus will give me a board for Christmas. I'm going to ask Santa for that. It's the only thing I want for Christmas this year. Sure enough, lo and behold, Santa Claus delivered 1973, December 25th. And that started me on my odyssey with the Ouija board.
Parker Brothers, summoning demons for 50 years.
Exactly. Now, this is very interesting.
Do they still make Ouija boards, too, as a matter of fact?
Well, now, Parker Brothers, okay, so Parker Brothers bought it from the William Fold Company in 1966, and when they bought it, Ouija outsold Monopoly, and Monopoly was their highest-selling game. It outsold it by, it was like 2 million its copies it sold. That was just unheard of in that day. So it immediately elevated Parker Brothers and their games to this higher level of, we got this new toy out there, and they called it a toy, they still do, that, you know, people wanted to have. Now, Hasbro now owns Parker Brother, and they own the trademark and patent to the Ouija. So now it's now Hasbro's one that puts out the traditional Ouija board that we all know of. I mean, there are many talking boards and spirit boards out there, and some of them are handmade. Others are crafted in smaller lots. They have a similar thing to them, and that would be numbers, letters, and a planchette indicator in order to spell. So they all have the same kind of formula to them, but there's so many out there that are made by many different manufacturers and companies around the world.
I'm not really familiar with the history of the Ouija board. I've talked to some people before, but didn't the Ouija board, like as we know it today, didn't it start out in like the 1800s, or is it way earlier than that?
There's a mistruth about it starting out in China and Greece. They had similar ways of divining, and they had certain ways of spelling, but it's not the tool we know today. So I have to really technically and literally say the Ouija board did not start until the late 1800s. There's stories about a board that was called the Witch Board that was around 1886. But the Ouija that we know today was 1890 when they first developed it, and 1891 it received its patent. But the whole idea of talking boards, spirit boards, Ouija boards came out of the United States in the mid-1800s from the spiritualist movement. And that is the group of people that were really into spirit communication. And you might have heard the story of the Fox sisters, who would hear raps on the walls, and the raps would answer their questions by two or one raps, or they could do the alphabet. You know, you go A is one rap, B is two raps, C is three raps, and so forth. So they did that for a period of several years, quite a while, and then they said they swore by it, then eventually it came out and said it wasn't true. So who knows? But there was a lot of spiritualists in that era that were into the communicating with the dead. And so the Ouija board was developed and came out of that movement. It was a quicker way to communicate as opposed to waiting for raps or table tipping or knocks. And it also combined the planchette, which came out of France, which is an automatic writer. And it was a planchette that looks similar to what you use on the Ouija board today, but it had an aperture in it that you stuck a pencil in, and that wound down and stayed snug inside the aperture of the top of the planchette. And the other two back legs were actually castor wheels. And so that would roll around on paper and it would spell. And so they put the planchette together, the idea, the concept of the planchette, together with the idea of a board with the letters and the numbers so it could spell quicker. So, and the automatic writing was often illegible, where this became, you know, it was really clear if you were on a letter or a number and you could put the words down and or write them down and spell something with it eventually. So it became a more modern way, if you will, to do seances, and it came right out of the box. So for relatively since, you know, several pennies, whatever it cost back then, it was, you know, is all relevant to the day. You could actually do your own seance pretty much out of the box and have spirits communicate with you immediately. So it became a real accessible tool. And in the heydays of the 1910s, 20s, 30s, it was really well used. And the Fold Company was selling them literally off the shelves and became millionaires back in those days, multimillionaires from selling this game. Because, again, it was very accessible. It wasn't too costly. You could pull it out in your parlor rooms and use it as a family fun thing to do, or guests come over after dinner and pull out the Ouija board. It was just very common. It was a very novel idea, and it wasn't anything scary or fear-based about it. It just was kind of like another thing you could do, you know, the way to access the spirit realm. But it all changed. Perceptions started changing over the years. Which ultimately took Ouija from the heyday of the parlor rooms to the dark closets and basements of today, where a lot of times you'll hear the Ouija boards get relegated to.
Yeah, I wonder if Hollywood has something to do with that, with all the movies coming out like Ouija and propagating the negative aspects of it.
Sure, that's one part of it. You know, people have experiences too, and they sometimes love to make them worse than they are, or, you know, they have experiences that they can't explain. And so the Ouija board does tend to get blamed for a lot of those experiences if they have one and they're using it when things happen, or if it's in the house, you'll hear that. There's always been stories throughout mankind in terms of with the use of the Ouija board where they'd say, I killed somebody, or I did some atrocious act because the board made me do it, or it's told to. So you'll get that. There's a lot of stories through history. And then, yes, you're right, Jason, Hollywood, but before Hollywood, even some of the older movies you'll find before the, you know, Hollywood we know today, there's some older movies that introduced the Ouija to it in the 50s and 60s. But truly the one that took Ouija to the ultimate levels of demonic possession was The Exorcist, when that movie came out. And it came out, get this, guys, it came out December 26, 1973. I got my board a day before. So when that movie came out, although it was in the book before that, the book came out a couple years before. But when the movie came out, it was more easy for people to go see a movie. Oftentimes people see a movie rather than reading the book, and some people do both. But there it was, right there, front and center, about the Ouija board and Reagan and Pazuzu, who ultimately became, you know, was Captain Howdy, and ultimately became the demon that possessed the girl in the movie, and there was a boy in the book. So, yeah, that really made a turn for Ouija for the worse. And then, you know, Hollywood said, heck, this is making money. Let's capitalize on it. And so you'll see it throughout the history in, you know, the 70s and 80s and 90s, and even, you know, the movie that came out a year ago, Ouija. So you'll continue to see it. They continue to use it. They're great at marketing. And I say my hat's off to them. You know, they took a tool that was really seen in a positive way, but it was in everybody's household at one time, practically, and they used it to their advantage when it had its fall. So it's, you know, that's what Hollywood does. That's what marketing's about.
Mm-hmm. What about those people that the people that don't believe in spirits and ghosts that say, well, doing the Ouija board is just an ideomotor effect. Your subconscious mind is creating subtle little movements in your fingers. Because I've seen some videos where they blindfolded people, and that suggested that was the case, that it was just that ideomotor effect. What do you think about that?
Well, you bring up a great point. I think that plays into it as well. Now, so yes, and this is how the board works. We can get really into the details of it. I actually believe the board does work with the help of my spirit friends and spirit guides, and I believe it's intention, so we can go further into that. But I want to address your question about ideomotor. Yes, there's an aspect of that as well. And you can use the board to communicate with yourself. I call it my higher self, my inner self, and that would be more through the connection of yourself with your own source spirit, which, or you can call it your idea motor if you want, your brain, but it becomes a very unconscious thing. So that is an aspect of it. So I never rule that out. And the blindfolded thing, well, I have a lot to say about that. I also have experience with the blindfolded experiment, and in fact, because of my experience and what happened during that session, it totally, fully, 100% turned me 180 degrees in the other direction with using the board. Although I was having positive results when I did the blindfold experiment, and I'd be happy to go in detail if you'd like me to, and that was when I was in college. Quite a few years later after I received the board, it really took me into a whole new realm of exploring the consciousness with Ouija board.
Yeah, I'd be. What about you, Sherry? I'd be interested to hear that because I think it was one of these Penn and Teller shows I watched a while ago where they did that, and I won't name the name of the show because it's actually an offensive name, but I don't know if you're familiar with that, but they did that, and it got me thinking about, well, maybe it's just the subconscious mind that's doing it.
Well, so this is what happened for me. I can only share my experience, and this was in 1986. So it was about 13 years later since I had my board. Now, I had been using it all along with friends, sleepovers, sort of parties, and with results. And sometimes with other friends, it may not be the best results. It'd be gibberish. But I was getting messages and learning about the other side, speaking to spirits, et cetera, et cetera. So in 1986, I took the board to college with me. And at this time, I was a junior or going to be a senior. So I was right on the cusp of my last year in school. And I had been using it this whole time. But I decided, you know what, I need to share this with others so I can just show them that the other dimensions exist and that when we die, it is never the end. Now, back then, because of how the Ouija board was marketed, and only because of what I knew to believe about the board or this tool, was that I only thought it was created to speak to dead people, which would make sense. It came out of the spiritualist movement. That was all about communicating with your deceased loved ones or the dead. And so that's what I thought it was. You talk to dead ghosts, spirits, et cetera. So I was doing this profoundly with several different partners, and they had gotten to a level where they were very good at using it with me. And so I bring it to my sorority. I was living in a sorority house at college, and I said, hey, girls, I said, I want to show some of you guys something about this. They're like, yeah, sure. What is that, you stupid thing you do? And I go, okay, well, come here and let me show you what I do. So I brought them into this room. There was like eight of us in the room. I had my partner. And I said, we're going to blindfold ourselves. Now, we had not done the blindfold thing. I never even thought this was an experiment that people would want me to do or needed to do. It was just that I felt like I believed so much in the movement of this planchette and connecting with spirits that they would move this. And we were not talking to any spirits. We were talking to certain people, friends. This one person that was had died at the college campus and actually had been a sorority sister, but this was years before I even lived there, and I didn't know her. But I figured I'm going to reach to somebody who has a connection here, possibly with me, this house where we were living, and some of the other girls that were alumni that I could reach out to and confirm my stories. So we started talking to this being. And by the way, everything we're talking about tonight is in my book, The Spirits of Ouija, Four Decades of Communication. I wanted to share with people my odyssey and how the good, the bad, the ugly, and how it all evolved for me. So we're talking to the spirit, and I just knew either she would come through or a couple of other spirit guides we were talking to would come through. So we sat down, blindfolded ourselves. We couldn't see. The girls checked. I typically, Jason and Sherry, have my left hand, really one finger on the planchette, and my right hand is on a pen writing on paper. My partner typically has two hands or at least one hand on the planchette on their side. So at this time, I was using one hand on the planchette and using one hand on the paper. This time, I put both hands on the planchette. My partner did too. I asked another gal sitting there to just write out the letters as she saw them, not to call them out, but just to write them as fast as she could when the letters spelled. The other girl sat there and watched. They put the board on her lap. Now, I didn't know which way they faced the board. And that day, we were using a board that was an old 1950 board. Mine was a 73 board. This 1950s board was a lot larger than mine. So they set it on her lap. And we had our blindfolds on, put our hands in the planchette, opened the circle. And I said, circle, we do a little opening, welcome, you could speak to us kind of thing. it started flying. Mm-hmm. The planchette flew around that board at incredible, crazy speeds. I could hardly keep my fingers on the planchette. My partner, it was the same for her. I heard people going, oh, wow, you know, kind of, whoa, ooh. And then I heard somebody start to cry, and I said, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, keep going, keep going. And so the girl's riding, and then all of a sudden, it was maybe after no more than 5 or 6, 7 minutes, it stopped, dead stopped. No pun intended, but it dead stopped. So I pull off my blindfold to my partner. I said, what? Did it make sense? What'd you get? And I said, please read it. And she read it. And so I don't have my book in front of me, but what I'm going to say to you in the gist of the message is exactly what the gist of the message is in my book. I said, please read it. It said, dear Lindsay, I am here. I'm not in pain. This is your sister. My boyfriend is here too. Know that I love you. Know that we will always love you. Know this too, that we felt no pain on impact. Know that we are well, we are fine. And the only pain we ever feel is that pain that you express at our funeral and you continue to carry with you. We will be together again. Tell mom and dad and my other sister, your other sister, she said her name, that we love them and we go in peace. We sat there and went, what? The girl, there was a girl in the room, and here we are again with another sister. She had a dead sister. I said, you have a dead sister? She said, yes, one of my sisters died in a terrible car wreck years ago. It was like 4 or 5 years earlier. I had no idea she even had a sister. Only one person in the room knew she had a sister that had died. It was her.
Wow.
And she started crying, that really deep, gut-wrenching cry that, you know, you just feel like something's being released. And we sat, all of us sat there, not a dry eye, let me say that. And it was quiet. We listened to her cry. And I finally said, you guys, I said, no more fun and games with this tool. I said, this is a tool. This is a tool. This is not a toy. This is to be used to help people find closure in grief. And no more fun and games or talking to any spirits. This is about people that need to use this tool so they can release or understand what happens to their loved ones when they die. It just forever transformed me. I wasn't even that amazed that we were blindfolded doing it. It wasn't until a lot later when I came into the public the last 4 years, people have been asking me, and I said, oh, what are you talking about? That experiment I did, and it wasn't even an experiment. I was just kind of showing people this tool really works. But I realized people don't believe in this tool unless they had seen something like that, and then they still don't believe it if they see it. But I didn't have to prove anything, but I did that day, and that wasn't even the point of that story. The story was what came through was this other person, another dimension, that had such love for her sister and wanted her sister not to carry that grief anymore. And I thought, wow. So then it was no more just talking to dead people for fun. It was like, is there a purpose for this communication? And that changed the whole direction I went, and I've been going ever since.
That's like, how awesome. Do you explain that? I mean, like, if you didn't know, I mean, that's certainly compelling. Like, you didn't have any knowledge of the deceased person.
No knowledge.
So how would you know that unless the sister there was psychically transmitting information? I mean, I don't know. That's definitely a...
See, and I'll tell you what, I'm open to that. And even that in itself is quite profound if that's happening. You see, this is what I've learned. We don't understand consciousness. We don't understand multidimensions and other dimensions. We don't understand death. We only know what we've been told, or we might have just researched or found out in certain ways or near-death experience. But yet, it differs for everybody. So we really don't know. I'm open to all the possibilities of above and below and everything in between because we don't know. And for that reason, I'm willing to say all of that can be the answer and all that may not be. But I'm willing to explore consciousness now, and I use this tool in great ways to go beyond the realms of dead, and I go into so many different levels of dimensions and consciousness. Anywhere I can find a sentient being that is willing to communicate from the highest good and from the light, I'm in communication with it. And that's been my goal, and ever since, and that's been one of my greatest passions and desires is to do this research. Although I've been doing it for many, many years, I mean, my 43rd year, I didn't start sharing this recently until about 3-4 years ago. I'm in my fourth year here real soon because I really felt like there was such a stigma about this tool and about even me as my professional, as a psychotherapist or other industries I've worked in over the years, that it would be tainted and somehow I would have a stigma on me. You know, like a big letter A on my forehead or something. And so I was really careful who and how and where I shared it. But there came a time when internally I couldn't hold back this information. I felt like it was too compelling to for us to, another way to look at dimensions. And I felt like the Ouija board as a tool had been so distorted and misgrossly used in terms of the toy that it has become and how many people use it and ignorantly, and not, I don't mean that mean, but just not knowing how else to use that tool. So they do get some really unexpected and mysterious, mischievous results. We can talk about that too, why that may be. But what I've learned from it is nothing but it's just a neutral device. It's just my permission slip, if you will, to move into other realms. It's not the only way I do it now, but it definitely has taken me a long way down a path of also developing my own psychic and empathic intuitive abilities from using this tool and allowing myself to reach into these other realms of consciousness.
You know, we talk about it's a little nervous, and I actually got disconnected mysteriously. It was weird.
Ooh.
So hopefully that's never happened. So never, maybe the spirits are reaching out.
That's funny.
To my computer. But Sherry, I don't remember. Have you played with a Ouija board?
I did one time. probably about 8 years ago. I played with a friend. And, you know, I did a protection prayer, and I just asked a question about my girlfriend who was pregnant at the time and was just curious about what she was going to have. And she did end up having what the board was saying, but it was interesting because it was rolling. You know, you kind of just let it roll and you just let it follow. It kind of had a mind of its own. So I didn't want to play with it too much because of the stigma that is attached to it. Oh, my mom would tell me, don't ever play with the Ouija board because you're going to be opening Pandora's box. So I was very careful about opening myself up. But I did have a little bit of maybe a 10-minute experience of playing with it. And I should say play with it or experimented with that. And I just thought, okay, I don't know about this, and I'm just going to let it go. So, yeah, I had one time an experience on that.
No, that's very cool. So you used it. And how about you, Jason? Have you? You said when you did dabble with it a little bit.
I did play with it quite a bit. I would say play with it was the right word. We were talking about that. I was definitely playing with it. It was such a long time ago. I don't remember everything, but I remember some spooky stuff. I remember being outside. I think I was playing, as I recall, I was playing with it alone, and there were a bunch of crows. I make a whole horde of crows in a tree that's like right there. And I asked for a sign. And like as soon as I had asked that question, all the birds like frantically flew out of the tree. That's kind of the only thing I can think of. But
okay.
Yeah, I've dabbled with it. So do you think that there are influence out there that comes through the Ouija board? I mean, if there's good spirits, and I suppose there would have to be bad spirits, right?
Yeah, you know, this is how I like it. So this is what they've talked to me about over the years, and some of my own studies have taken me there as well. You know, when we move into the next dimension, and a lot, you always have a choice, number one. You have a choice, you want to move on, you want to stick around your loved ones, you want to stay and haunt a place. You have a choice of where you want your energy to go. They say everything is about free will. Even right now, we have choice in everything we do in our life. We just don't fully understand that. But there's always free will with a soul. And so often, when somebody dies, doesn't mean they become all-knowing and all-knowledgeable. In fact, often they're just in the understanding they had when they were alive. And some of those people who die may be so attached to their life they just left that they're still in the same personality, which may include the fallacies or the weaknesses and strengths of that personality. So if somebody's really angry and bitter and a killer and they don't move on, they're still in that same energy, that vibratory level that's very low. And so what I've learned is there's different levels to the realms or the dimensions. We can call them astral realms. I think that's a common one people have heard. And there's those spirits that are lower vibration. And that's in the darker earthbound spirits. And it's not that to say they're demonic. It's to say that they're still stuck in that personality, which can be evil, which can be malevolent, which can be sinister, which can be nefarious, which can be trickster-like. And so, yes, people can come in touch and contact and touch with those energies. not just from a board. You could just be sitting in a room with a candle lit and calling upon them, invoking them. That's going to do the same thing as a board would do. You could walk into a haunted place with your EVP and say, hey, I want to hear you. Who's here? That's the same way of calling them to you. So we just somehow, for many reasons, gets the bad rap. Or all these other tools we use take you into the same dimensions and realms, and you can attract that same thing to you. What my spirit beings that I communicate with now, I can tell you all the different ones I've communicated with over the years and where I am now with it, but they tell me that we're only separated by our vibration. And so we're all vibratory. And we know this from science, we know this from physics, that everything is created in a vibration form. It's a wave and a particle, and it's always in movement. And we appear to be solid by the frequency, the rate of the vibration creates the sense of a solidity to the object, where nothing is truly solid at all. And so other dimensions, because of that, their vibration is different than our dimension. They can just pass right through what seems to be walls, and other kinds of feats can happen. And so my spirit friends say, we're only separated by our vibration. They say, your vibration, we're vibration, flowers are vibration. But what separates us is that rate of our vibration, the frequency. So that is the only thing that separates us from dimensions. And so, yes, if you are interacting with these lower vibratory dimensions, yes, that's what you're going to get. And so people can get on the Ouija board. People can use tarot cards. People can use dowsing instruments. People can sit with a candle in a room and or psychomantium or black mirror scrying and still pull in these same forces if they choose to. Again, it's choice. They come because we're expecting it. That's what we've been told. That's what our beliefs and perceptions have geared us to believe is going to happen. That's all we know. And so, again, it might be out of ignorance or just lack of knowledge. And that's okay. And that's what people say, don't mess with the board. Because if you don't really know what you're getting into when you go into any of these realms, whether it's meditation, hypnosis, et cetera, you can still access these realms. So what I've learned in the process of doing this is it's really based on my own vibration. What shifts and change my vibrations are my intentions, my beliefs, my perceptions. So it has to do with a lot. It's a holistic kind of approach of how I'm even feeling that day and thinking. And that's going to shift my vibration to the vibration of what I want to attract. And I can't get anything but that what I am and what I'm trying to attract. So therefore, I don't get those other lower vibrations, although I have. I talk about them in my book. But there's ways to move beyond that and around that and through it and just in other dimensions, you know, by learning to raise your own vibratory response.
That seems to make sense to me, especially, you know, a person's intention. I kind of believe that we manifest things into this world, you know, on what we desire and what our intention is, and our thoughts manifest things. I think we have a direct correlation of what actually comes into our lives. And you're talking about vibration, and there have been some studies that seem to confirm that our simple perception of things alters them. I don't know if that's quantum mechanics or not, but so at least it's been established on some subatomic level that we do have a deeper interaction on a, you know, cellular, microbiological level, or whatever the right word is. So I totally get that. And now, did you hear me at the beginning of this show talking about that spirit called Zozo? Are you familiar with that?
Absolutely. Oh yes, very much so. Yes.
I would love to hear about that.
Oh, sure. Now, I do write about Zozo in my third book, which is called The Spirit of Alchemy, Secret Teachings of the Sacred Reunion. Oh, by the way, I've written three books, but all three books were written with the help of my spirit guide, spirit friends. And in fact, my last one has a download of information. A lot of it was channeled. I should have even put their name, Karen A. Dahlman, and co-author Spirit Guides, because we co-authored that book together, and we did talk about Zozo and some of this energetic stuff we're talking about right now. So, by the way, a good friend of mine, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and Darren Evans, who I know really well also, are working on a book. It's to come out, I think it's in February, and it's about the Zozo phenomenon. And Darren Evans has a lot to say about it. He's experienced some mischievous stuff from Zozo that's affected his life, he reports. And then they did some research into the history of it. So they're really going to be the people to go to really hear a lot about it. But having said that, I believe in the vibration, the energy, and I've seen it work in my own life. And this is what I'm taught from my spirit guides, that we are all, again, vibration. And because of that vibration, we could draw to us and create and manifest within our life anything of our choosing. Anything is possible, they tell me. You just have to have the perception and the belief and the energy to match it. So when we draw negative things to us, it's not a coincidence. It's not serendipitous. I believe it's synchronistic. It's connected to how we pull upon energies into our life. And it could be conscious or subconscious. And often, most of the time it's subconscious, on a very subconscious, unconscious level, that we draw these things to us. I mean, who wants to have havoc in their life? Yet it happens. And so what I've learned, I can't just say vibration only works when I work on the Ouija board to positive things. No, I can't pick and choose. It works across the board. And you're absolutely right. It's called the double split experiment in quantum physics that talks about how we change the effect of the particle and how it moves through that double slit as a photon of light by our own beliefs and how we think about it. And so we can affect it down to the very molecular structure of things. So I can't pick and choose. So it's a hard thing to swallow. It's something I really, in that third book, I really wrote a lot about this concept. So given that, Zozo to me is like a thought form. It's an energetic vibration that is real. It's a lower vibration, and we can call that to us. And it so happens that in our psyche, our collective unconscious right now, as an archetype, if you want to call it that, it's become a thing called Zozo. Now, is it really an entity called Zozo? I would disagree with anything else that people tell you so. That's my own opinion. I'm going to tell you, other people are going to totally 100% disagree with me, and that is, I'm 100% cool with that, because I think we all have our own experiences. But we don't need to have that kind of interaction. In fact, I tell people, if you ever on using a Ouija board, it's something less than uplifting, less than supportive, less than loving, comes through that board and says anything to you, demeaning, degrading, or negative, or anything that you don't feel right with, simply put the board away. We have that ability to shut this down. People say, well, the board will carry the residue of that interaction. If you believe it, yes, it will. If you don't, it won't. All the baubles and beads and talismans we use are not needed. But yet, if it helps us in some way to be in our center and to be protected, we feel we need that, then yes, by all means, we need to do that. Because that, again, caters to our beliefs. So no, Zozo to me is not a real entity, but yet Zozo has been recounted throughout ages and different names and different forms, and I think it's nothing more than tapping into this collective psyche unconscious archetype that can cause mischief and negative things to happen. But also, when you give your power away to anything, such as a board, a tulpa, an energy, a thought form, you're giving yourself away to it. You're not coming back to who you truly are, and who you truly are is an aspect, aspect of Source. You're divine in itself. And so given that, even anything that's negative also is an aspect of Source. So we have to always find the light within ourselves. And that is what I do when I use the board. I find the light within. I use the light without. I do say a prayer. I set the vibration correctly with my partner, myself, and anybody in the room. And therefore, we get nothing but, in these last, 20 years, positive experiences with the board for those reasons. Once I finally learned how to work with this energy.
A lot of people say that you have to close the session at the end. Is that true, or is that just more of a psychological thing for the person that's using the board?
Great question. You know, I think it's both. What I've learned is that it's great to set a vibration. And think about this. Anybody that does any kind of healing work, whether you're a psychic or a life coach or a psychotherapist, hypnotherapist, a shaman, a journeyer, you will always have a way to open the ceremonial circle, the space, the room, the session, and there's always a way to close it, whether it's saying, okay, pay me your check, or goodbye, you walk them out the door, or you say, thank you for coming, you close the door, and you put your notes away. There's always the ending. And so anytime you do any kind of sacred work, it's to respect the space, to respect yourself, to respect the entrance and the exit. And so that's important to have that. And I think it sets the vibration correctly, and it closes the vibration. In fact, people say, well, your planchette must go to goodbye in the board. Mine doesn't. It never really has. In fact, probably for the first 3 years using it, I might have thought you had to do that. After that, I said, I don't think I need to do that. I just need to say goodbye. So in my mind, I just said goodbye. Now I have a way of saying, I want to say, what's your final summary? What's your last thing you'd like to say to us? And I say, with that, we thank you again for your time today, and I'd like to say goodbye. And we say goodbye, and the energy lifts. The planchette doesn't even move to goodbye. But that's our way of doing it. If somebody else feels like they need to go to goodbye, the spirits that you're communicating with, or your higher self, or your guides, or your angels, or these ethereal light beings, they will give you what it is you need so you feel protected. That's how you know you're always talking to a good spirit. They will support you in this whole process, any of these endeavors or these kind of tools we use when they are of that light, good being source.
So you think that everybody has spirit guides? Now, I know, Sherry, you believe in spirit guides, right?
That is correct, yes. I do, definitely.
I'm up in the air. I'm so confused about life and the universe. I don't know what's going on. I would like to believe that there's a higher power out there watching after me. Certainly I've had some things happen in my life where I probably should have been hurt worse than I was. And I'd like to believe something was watching out after me, but still for me, I think I would still be nervous playing with a Ouija board just because I have a very a mind that just kind of races and I think too much. I think I would just be too paranoid about something bad happening. But have you ever seen like a physical manifestation as a result of a Ouija board, like something letting you know it was there, like moving an object or anything like that?
Well, when you say as a result of the Ouija board, I would say it's a result of where I am with my own development. I've always so to back up further. I want to say one thing, Jason. I love that you say you don't know where you are. That's where everybody should be. When we think we have the answers, then we lose all the possibilities and potentialities that are there for us in the universe. So I'm glad you said that. That's important. Even though I'm sharing all this information I have, trust me, I don't have the answers, and I'm just still pushing the boundaries of consciousness in such extreme ways that I learn something new and then something else opens up. So thank you for saying that. So back to when you said that something happened. When I was very young, I had what others would call an imaginary playmate. And I remember this playmate from the age of two. It wasn't imaginary. To this day, I know it was a guide of mine. From the angelic realm. And he helped me write a passage in my latest book, and it was truly him. And I would see him literally in front of my eyes, in front of my face. And throughout the years, I've seen all kinds of visitations, ghosts, spirits, things like that. So for me, what I say, is it because of the Ouija board? No, it was because of my own development. Using the board, again, as a tool, it's really how I access these realms. Again, it's my permission slip to put my hands on this planchette and to allow myself to communicate. I don't need it anymore, but I still choose to use it. It's a delightful tool for me, and I love to educate others on this tool as well, so I still use it. But it's limiting, and it can be a crutch for me because as I move off the board into other realms, I can go – the communication and transmissions can be a lot clearer and deeper. So, yes, things have happened while using the board. Things have appeared. Things have moved. Things have been in one side of the house to another side of the house. Not so much I saw them move to from place point A to point B, but clearly nobody else was in the house, and there was no other way it could have moved. And so I've been able to communicate with my guides about that, and they say, yeah, we are showing you sometimes the power of what can happen. So is it 'cause the board? I would say no, and other people would disagree and say, I've heard the stories because I was using the board, the candle went out, somebody touched me. I was using the board in college, and I was speaking to that dead person I told you about that we were talking to a lot. And I realized from my own development, I was starting to read a lot of books. I was studying psychology, and I became a therapist, but I was studying a lot about the other dimensions. They didn't call it then. They called it life after death. I was reading a lot of stuff about that. And I was also being taught by one of my guides who I met early on the board. Her name was Wilma Jean, and she was a person that lived and died and told me all about the afterlife. And I was learning that it's not always good to communicate even with your loved ones all the time. There's a time when they can be there, and there's a time for them to move on. We help create a stale evolution for them, and they get stuck. And it's not so much their fault or our fault. It's the fact that they love us so much they don't want to leave us or hurt us. We love them so much we don't want them to go. But there comes a time we really need to let go. And it's best to do that, so we're not like this codependent, you can't move on kind of thing. And so they want to evolve. And so when the spirit I was talking to in college, I said, I really can't talk to you anymore. Her name's Anne. I can't talk to you anymore, Anne. I'm not going to talk to you. She said, yes, you are. And that's the first time I saw her flip to this, like, negative. It wasn't mean. It was that she's like, I still want to talk to you. No, I need to talk to you. Don't cut me off. And I said, I have to. I don't want to. I mean, I love talking to you. This is great. All these girls love talking to you. But I think we're holding you back. And that's when I really became, I guess I developed my maturity about this. It's not about me. It also matters where they are, too. And it's not always my free will or their free will. It's not my agenda. It's not their agenda. It's really common knowledge takes you to some new levels of thinking and thought. And so I was thinking, okay, this is what I'm learning. Is this right? Is this accurate? Well, my guide said, yeah, that's very accurate. You really need to tell her it's time to go. When I did that, she came in the room. I didn't see her, but I was laying there in my bed. My roommate was there and sitting in her bed doing some homework. I felt this push, heavy push on my shoulder, my back, and I was 100% awake. I was just laying there for 10 minutes before I went to my next class. Excuse me. And I said to my roommate, what do you want? She says, nothing. What do you mean? I said, did you not just touch me? She goes, no, I'm sitting here reading. I go, did anybody come in the room? She said, no. And so we ended up getting back on the board, talked to Anne. She said, yeah, I want you to know I'm still here and I can manifest myself. And I said, oh, okay, this is too far. This is it. I'm saying goodbye now. And that was the last time I spoke to her, last time she touched me. But there's been other incidences like that, smells, sights, sounds, things flashing, while doing any kind of spiritual work, not just the Ouija board.
I would like to learn to use the Ouija. About the only way I'd be tempted to play with, I say play again with the Ouija board, to utilize the Ouija board, is if you could give me winning lottery numbers, that would be great. But we do have a caller. I didn't know if you were interested in taking a question from a caller. I could do that.
Of course I am. I the more the merrier. Please bring the caller on.
Okay. Let's see who this is.
Hello?
Hey, caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizons.
Oh, excellent. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hi.
I can hear you fine.
Okay. I'm just going to take you off speakerphone because you hear me better. Great, great talk, for one. Really appreciate your insight. I do not have a Ouija board now, nor do I use a Ouija board, but 45-plus years ago, we had a Ouija board in the house, and I know it always took more than one person to use the apparatus, and we would always go by the instructions, and of course we were children, but my mother was very much into everything back then. You gotta remember this was the 70s, and we had poltergeist type scenario things that would happen within our home and our apartment, actually, where we were at. We lived in projects, and the projects were known to be built near some type of burial ground, and we thought maybe that was what that was from. All that set aside, is the Ouija board, and we would use the Ouija board, but we were always told that you couldn't destroy a Ouija board, and if you destroyed it, there was a certain way that you would have to do that without condoning some type of curse or whatever upon yourself. Do you know anything about that?
I do. And let me, what was your name?
My name is Tim, T-I-M.
Tim. Okay, great. To Tim. Yeah. Let me say this. Let me throw it back at you. What do you think you would need to do to get to dispose of a Ouija board?
I would need to do what? I missed the question.
To dispose of a Ouija board. Tell me what your beliefs are about disposing of a Ouija board.
Well, when religion came into our home and they made it really overboard, we had to take all of our rock and roll albums, anything that we had to do that had to do anything with all the good things that I think are in life, and we had to take them all and burn them. So that's what we had to do.
Okay.
We had to take our Ouija board and you know, and for us, I loved this thing. I was so intrigued about it. It had all the letters on it. We would always concentrate, put our fingers on it just ever so light. It would move itself. It would go to yes or no. We would ask questions. It was so creepy sometimes we had to get up and run away from it. So
yeah.
That's what brought us back was that intrigue, that excitement, you know.
Yeah.
That strangeness, you know, that's what we lived for. We were kids, you know, we loved that. So
I heard a Ouija board was,
ah.
Yeah, Tim, I love your question. I think it's a fabulous question, and I love your response to it. It really depends on what you believe. So you were taught, as you said, through religion and everything that changed in your life to get rid of, and you had to burn everything, and that was the way to do it. So for you, that might still be your belief. Let me tell you what, Mason,
I hated
burn.
It.
Yes. So to dispose of a Ouija board correctly, you put them in the mail and send them to me. Okay, I'll take your Ouija boards. This is the deal. Isn't that great? That's the truth, because that's superstition. That's what people say.
Yeah.
Nothing, sounds don't come out of the boards and you burn them. Masonite number one, which is a 70s board, it was made out of Masonite, it's into the early 80s, those don't burn. Masonite doesn't burn. Compressed particle does, wood boards and the cardboards burn. People go, my Ouija board didn't burn. I say, was it Masonite? You hear all these stories, and usually it's somebody's brother, sister, aunt, uncle, cousin, kin, right? And so you really have to look where this is coming from. So if people are afraid of the board, you know what? Don't use it. And if people tell you to be afraid of it, go by your own internal wisdom. Find out how that sits with you. If it sits that you're not comfortable, then it's not your tool. And to get rid of it, you don't need to get rid of them. You can simply put it in the Goodwill. Or, again, I said, I'll pay for the shipping and ship it to my house because I collect boards. And I know collectors that have thousands of boards in their home. Robert Murch is one of them. And he doesn't really believe they work like this. He has no problems at all. And I know people that have hundreds and they don't have any problems at all. I only have 16. I have no problems at all. But, it's what we believe, what we believe we need to do to care of them and get rid of them. It's what we believe. That's what you need to do.
And that, and I was just curious about that. But my also the question would be, for a Ouija board to work properly, is it true that you cannot use it by yourself? You actually have to have at least two people to hold on to the little reticle or stylus thing that moves around the board. Is that correct or is that false? Or can one person use the Ouija board alone?
Sure. Another good question. It's called a planchette. Or an indicator. Yes and no. Okay, I always tell people to use it with somebody else, and this is why. When you're doing it by yourself, it's so hard to get that feeling of that subtle movement, and you're going to think you're pushing it. It's going to be hard. You're going to question yourself. With another person, when it starts to move and you know that feeling, it kind of pulls you. I know Sherry mentioned it, you mentioned it, Tim. It kind of pulls you and you go with it, and it's easier when another person's there because you can let go psychologically and even mentally and physically. But by yourself, you second guess yourself. Plus, when you do the board with somebody else and you're not quite sure how it works and all that stuff, you have somebody to sit there with you as a witness and as your confidant and as somebody to talk about the messages. So you don't take every message to heart, because it truly, you talk to dead people, it's going to be nebulous at the best, unless you get to these other realms of wisdom, and that's a whole other story. That's like a whole other hour we can talk about. So you can use it alone. I think Jason said he used it alone a little bit. You can. I know friends who use it exclusively alone. Tim, I didn't use it alone until after 39 years of using the board. And the only reason why is because I thought you had to have a partner. That is what I thought. That's what the box said. It said, my box I got in my board and said, that sit up on the other side of cross-legged with the board in your lap from another person, preferably male, female. I thought, okay, I got to do it with my brother. Okay, got that. Put the board on your lap and let it move, but you need two people. So I bought that for 39 years. So the last 4 years I've been using it alone. I will say this, though, because I think I have that mental block. My messages are only sentences when I do it alone. When I have a partner, oh, my God, they're paragraphs and pages. I don't even let go of the planchette until it spills, and it goes on and on. And it's lovely. These messages are just crazy cool, astounding. So I let it spell like that, and it works so well for me as another person. But, again, I do know people. I've sat there and watched them. Some really dear friends of mine I've met through the use of the board who use this tool in incredible ways and can do it by themselves with profound messages. So it really depends on the individual and what you believe and where you can go with it.
I see. Yes, my brother and I, my older brother and I, we were the ones that used to and then we'd get the neighbor kids around, of course, too.
Oh, sure.
One other question, just my last question. I don't want to take up because I'm sure there's other callers that want to get in on this. Is what about using an apparatus such as this with mind or mood altering drugs? Say like ayahuasca or something, or even marijuana for all that matters. Is there a negativity to it, or can there be a positive side to it? I know you were talking about how the positive energy, the mind, the photon, just the different types of sciences that might go with that. I was, how? What is your take on that?
Okay, so my take is I don't recommend doing substances that alter your consciousness in any way. I'll tell you what, because there's a few reasons why, but I will say, number one, because then you're not in your center of who you are and your ability to tune back to these vibrations really clearly. Now, yes, ayahuasca and some of these other drugs could enhance that, but then again, where is going to be your groundedness back in your body to be able to understand and comprehend what just happened? Will you go off in a mind trip in addition to what you're doing on the board? See, I'm a purist. I'm a purist when it comes to Ouija. I like old school Ouija. I like the planchette. I like my 1973 board. I just like to burn a candle, say my prayer. I don't want to use any alterations, drugs, or anything like that. I really want to stay in my center. I want to be really grounded in my message and what I receive so I can feel it in my body. I mean, I feel the messages now. I feel the vibrations. I want to know what that's like to be a human in communion with these other dimensions as opposed to taking myself with the extra help. I think, too, when you do that and as you're not using ayahuasca in the right parameters or marijuana or even peyote within the confines or the parameters in which it comes from, the sacredness of it, we start to distort how to use it and what it becomes for us. And I think with that being said, we're distorting the message that may come through. So we're kind of taking them into a whole other realm. I think there's room to experiment with that if people want to do studies like that. Again, I want to know, my intent is to know my connection back to source and all the sentient and beings in between as a purist, coming at it as a human being with my consciousness and abilities to understand it, comprehend it, and then think about it later and work with the information further, but not be augmented. And a lot of times when we open ourselves up with these other altering substance abuse, substance things that alter our abilities, what it does is we actually open ourselves up to pull in sometimes other energies that don't need to be there. This could be attachments of spirits. This could be other kinds of feelings that come through from people in the room. So you kind of, again, change what really could happen with you directly connecting with the spirits through this tool. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. That's actually the answer I was looking for. Spot on, I must say, spot on.
Awesome.
And just going to throw this in there because I know right about the same time, same year that the Ouija board came out, they also came out with the Black Magic 8-Ball. You remember that one?
I guarantee you had one of those. We're the same age.
It's great. So sounds like we might be right about the same age.
I think we are. Thank you so
wonderful.
Much.
Well, it was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much, Jason and Sherry.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much for letting me ask some questions. I sure do appreciate it. And we had a real 7.1 earthquake last night. It really shook us up
last
night.
I have family up there, right a few miles from where the road opened up. So, my goodness, I'm glad you're safe. My family is, too. But that's scary. I saw pictures of the aftermath. I've been in touch with them today. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Actually, I live with a parrot. It's a bird. And he let me know just seconds before the earthquake hit. And he flew from
end
of his RV to the other. And I'm going, what is going on, you know? And then all of a sudden, I thought someone was out there shaking my RV because the night before last, I had a neighbor who came by and was just messing around and was shaking my – I live in an RV. And I was like, what's going on? And I thought it was an earthquake. And last night, I thought it was him again. I'm going, quit it. Stop it. You're scaring my bird. And I looked out the window, and I saw the Jeeps jumping up and down. I was like, oh, my goodness, it is an earthquake.
God, you're safe.
Wow.
Thank God.
Yeah. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, you folks have a great evening. Thank you so much. I love your show. You guys, I love your show. I love tuning into it when I can. And I can't wait until the next one. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for calling
in. Thank you for your support. We appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, our hour is almost up, Sherry.
I know. Flight. We have to have her back.
I know. We're going to have to get you back. Yeah, we're running out of time here, and... I did want to give you an opportunity to let the listeners know the website and books and how people can get in contact with you to learn more about Ouija.
Great. Well, listen, thank you, Sherry and Jason. I would love to come back. I had told Sherry we have so much to cover. Remember that conversation, Sherry?
Yes,
and so an hour,
so much.
Really,
this is only the tip of the iceberg, exactly.
Yeah.
It is. This is only the very tip sticking out of the water. There's so much more. So thank you for this opportunity. You can find me at Karen A. Dahlman, DAHLMAN.com, or creativevisionspublications.com. They both go to the same place. Those are my websites. Autographed copies of my books are there. I have all kinds of free articles there to download about talking boards, well-being, spirituality, all the things that just drive me and I'm passionate about, that drive my work. Also, join my newsletter there. You'll get every 4 to 6 weeks I release the latest articles and information on talking boards, spirit communication, et cetera. And then you can find my books always on Amazon.com and in Kindle format. And, and you can find me on Facebook, Google+, Twitter, Instagram, Karen A. Dahlman. So please come out and join me. Thank you to Jason and Sherry again for having me on the show. It was such a treat to be on here with you guys. Thank you. And thank you for the caller. I appreciate that as well.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to come on. And I've learned a lot about Ouija I didn't know about, because everybody that I had talked to before, it was just this negative thing. Now, am I brave enough to play? I see, I want to say play with it again. That's so ingrained in my brain.
Once you change that, your whole energy vibration will change around board, too. You've got to change it. So you want to utilize or work or operate. I love saying operate.
Yeah, operate. Am I going to operate a board out of curiosity? I have to be honest, probably not. I love horror movies, and I think that those have just influenced my subconscious a little too much.
That's nice. Okay, yeah. It may not be your tool either, but thank you again for allowing me this hour to talk with you all about it. Appreciate it.
Thank you,
Great.
Sharon.
Thank you.
I love your attitude because it's so practical. Love it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you so much.
All righty. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Take care.
All righty.
That whole hour went by fast.
It always goes so fast, and we'll have to get her back on and talk a little bit more about it. I'm sure there's a lot of aspects that we didn't touch regarding the Ouija. It's a very interesting and popular subject. But so you have done a great job finding guests for the show. What do we got coming up next week?
Well, next week we're going to have a personal friend of mine that I've known for 15 years, Karen Anderson. She is an animal communicator, so she communicates all kinds of animals, from birds to you name it, she communicates with them. So we're going to have her on air for an hour and talk about animals and how she communicates with them and how she can give us tips and our viewers tips and how to communicate with our animals around us and our own pets.
Well, that's an interesting subject, and we've done about 90 episodes. Well, there have been 90 episodes of Paranormal Horizons, and I don't think we ever had an animal communicator.
Wow,
and,
good.
So that will be very, very interesting to have. Unfortunately, I'm currently in a transitional period in my life, and I don't have any pets, so I can't really apply anything I learn. But I'll have to take notes, because eventually I'd like to get a horse or a cat or something.
That would be good. They're wonderful. They make good pets. Of course, cats, I love all kinds of animals, except reptiles. I'm not a reptile person, but I love animals in general.
I was looking for the cat sound effect, so I'm a little late on it, but here it is.
Sounds like my cat.
Actually, I would really enjoy having a Wookiee as a pet. That's my tribute to the new Star Wars movie. Anyways, so yeah, that's the show. I want to thank the caller for calling in and thank Karen for teaching us about Spirits of Ouija, and hope everybody has a fantastic week, and I think that's about it.
Thank you for listening to Paranormal Horizons. We appreciate your support, and we'll see you next week. Stay tuned.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.